pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Friday afternoon, right outside Kyle Field. We're in Aggie Park, and howdy from Aggie Land on just a beautiful final day of summer. Heat index here just hit 101, and we haven't even hit the hot part of the day, but good afternoon. Great to have all of you here. We are jam-packed for the next 4 hours. Roman and Tim begin it off, and Tim, let's get started here. They are fired up. They feel like the Aggies are about to turn things around, and they're taking on Auburn tomorrow morning.
Well, they should be fired up here because they have a quarterback that they can rally around, and it's been a little while since you could say that. Connor Wegman, I think he's playing as good as anybody in the SEC. He has been on fire. Last week, I know it's ULM, but what he did from start to finish till they pulled him was an amazing game. It was an amazing performance. But this week, it's going to be a different defense in Auburn, and I think that's going to be a key in the game. Auburn has to get pressure. They got to force turnovers. They haven't had the offense that they wanted so far this year. So if Auburn's going to stay in this one, it's got to happen with defense and slowing down Connor and these receivers.
Yeah, and another thing that most people are not wrapping their heads around, Paul, is that the rules in college football has changed in the fact of you don't get to stop the ball after every first down. So the game naturally speeds up. It condenses. You don't get as many drives. And so Auburn really is trying to force turnovers, like Tim's saying, because if I can cut away two possessions from Texas A&M, that gives me a chance to win this game. And Auburn has to slow it down if they want to win it. And they understand they're going to have to win it on the defensive side of football for Auburn versus this explosive offense of Texas A&M. And the other matchup is going to come down to can – Texas A&M's defense get it right. They've kind of struggled, especially in big moments, one-on-one situations versus the wide receivers of Auburn. That's another little key matchup that you got to pay attention
to. In the offseason, all we talked about, those of us in the media, not people that actually know what they're talking about, was Bobby Petrino, the offensive coordinator. Nobody ever mentioned DJ Durkin, and now that's all I ever hear since I've landed. What about this defensive coordinator? What about him?
You know, whenever you're following up somebody really good as like Mike Elko, it's just really hard. But you got to understand sometimes as a defensive coordinator, just because I love this play on the board, sometimes it's not transitioning over to what they're doing on the field. So what do the players do well on the field? What do they see? Take their eyes and what they account into account when you're trying to build up a defense, because if they're not comfortable, then the defense is not going to work. It doesn't matter how good it looks on a board or how good it looks inside the classroom. If the guys are not taking it to the field and transitioning that way, you're not going to be successful. I think it has to be some kind of happy medium of what DJ Durkin likes to do and what this defense is able to do and find that bridge in that marriage, because right now I just need to hold a team under 25. If I can hold a team under 28, I'm going to win the game and just understand it and attack it from that way.
I still think they're trying to figure out what they do well defensively.
I agree, yeah.
But DJ has done it at a very high level. He's done it with some of the best defense in the country. Look at where he has gone. He has always found a way to be able to improve the defense, and he's had some of the best to have done it. And I think he is one of the better play callers out there, defensive play callers. I think he knows defense really well. But it also takes time to adapt with your players, with your team, understanding what they do well, what's unique, what really makes up the identity of that defense. And this is going to be a big test for him.
Doesn't matter how much he knows if the players aren't able to emulate that and go out there and do it.
Sure.
So, you know, you can be the smartest guy, but if I don't understand it, then I'm lost. It's like me trying to describe, right, you know, a double coverage versus to Paul. Paul's not going to understand what we're talking about.
He's just not going to get it. Dang, that's messed up, Roman.
He's not going to
understand it. Don't try Paul like that, man.
Oh, my bad. You right here? Oh, my bad.
We're on the Paul Feinbaum show.
You say a double shot?
Yeah, probably not. It's kind of hot right now.
He understands that.
He does.
Double coverage. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that one. Let's talk about another game, and it is one that people were whispering about all over the country, and it's Lane Kiffin bringing his
– They're not whispering, Paul.
Big, bad approach.
Have people been whispering to you this week?
They're not whispering, Paul.
They've been whispering about me because they don't want me to talk. But, Tim, this is such a big game for both schools. It feels like maybe this is the moment that Lane Kiffin finally – puts one in his old boss.
Well, it's a massive game for both teams, for both schools. I like that they went back to Jalen Milroe. I think he gives them the best chance to win. I don't even think it's close. I think he's one of the more electric, explosive players in the country, and he's only started less than a handful of games. You got to also give him the chance and the experience to adapt. It's going to be really interesting to see what type of offense Alabama runs.
Yes.
Are you going to run maybe what Tommy Reese and the staff feels more comfortable with, or are you going to run what Jalen feels more comfortable
yes.
with? That's going to be really fascinating, because Tommy has done a great job at Notre Dame, and he's getting, you know, kind of his you know,
feet wet
a little
yeah,
bit with
go.
Bama, but it's also, okay, so is Jalen. So I just think it's so important for a quarterback that's
Tim,
young and talented to build it around him.
I understand philosophy, but you got a guy dynamic. Like, why can't you build it around him? I mean,
that's my point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand what he's been doing so far.
Well, I think it's really important that you put him in a position to be comfortable. And I think some of those things that he's looked comfortable to me so far, and obviously we only get
You're
to
talking about Jalen Milroe.
Jalen Milroe.
Okay, yeah, okay.
What Jalen feels comfortable with is he is dynamic. He's a very good passer down the field, but that's not necessarily in some of the three-level concepts as much as it is some of the fades in the inside rail release, inside technique fades. I thought he's thrown those extremely well. I've liked some of his screen game, getting it out quick, and then the zone read with the RPO off of it. I think if that's a game plan coming in, you have an offense that can be dynamic and very dynamic. Look at him against Middle Tennessee, and you know that I get it's Middle Tennessee, but then also at times against Texas,
no doubt,
two missed touchdowns and two touchdowns called back. That is an offense at moments has been very explosive, and that's the offense that needs to be built around.
You got to understand who he is and continue to love on this guy and put him in position to be successful. I'm tired of coaches always saying, oh, I got to get better players. And I'm like, well, better players ain't showing up today. So what are you going to do to make this guy better? How can we win right now with the guys that we have inside this room? And so the offensive line must protect better. Jalen Milroe has to protect the football first and foremost. And at that point, man, you got to cut it loose. We got to stop thinking. We got to stop doing all these other things and listening to all the other white noise on the outside. Alabama has to really focus in, because their season is right there in front of them, Paul. You know, Alabama lost two games last year, and everybody's like, oh, it's a terrible season. That has been the standard in which it is right now. And right now, you got an Ole Miss team that's ready to knock you off, and they can't wait to supplant you from the top of the SEC West. And on top of that, if you have two losses this early in the season, Alabama will have no idea what to do. And so they got to protect home field. They got to understand what the opportunity is still out there in front of them, that their destiny is still out there, but they got to play better offense, defense, special teams, and play together as a team. I think as long as we continue to put all this pressure on Jalen Milroe that he just has to play
yes,
better,
no, you're
it
right.
has it's to be just, the team
it has to, be,
has
the
to
team.
Be better.
It has to be the offensive line. It has to be the running backs. It has to be the coaching staff, the
yes.
defensive line. Like, it's not all on Jalen.
No.
You know, and I just think it's really important to mention that. And tomorrow on SEC Nation, we're going to show how there's some other positions that need to step up. And
yep.
so many people, well, he threw the two interceptions in Texas, and then he was benched, and there's a lot of reasons I get that went into that. But, hey, there's a whole team that has to step up. It's not just on the quarterback.
I'm guessing some of that is the offensive line.
Just a little.
Wild guess.
Just a little.
Somebody
bit.
Help me with that. I mean, how do you tweak that, though?
Well, it's really hard, because clearly the best players are playing. Nick always plays the best players. So if they're clearly lacking in depth in that position, to be able to challenge some of these guys, if these are the guys that you're rolling out there, then these are the guys.
But
if they wanted to play somebody else, they put them in.
But you also played to what those players do well,
there we
right?
go.
If it's pass setting, then you do that. If it's run blocking, then you do that. You look at what they were more successful against USF, and it was running behind the right side of the offensive line. It's by far the better side of the offensive line is the right side. So guess what? If you're going to block one side, you're going to block the right and maybe read the left. So you can double team the left nose guard or DT, and then you can read the defensive end. Now you're going to put Jalen in, like, there's a few years where we played defenses that were so good that we said, okay, for certain players, instead of blocking them, we're going to read them.
Yeah.
Now you put it in Jalen's hands to be an athlete. And that's also another concept that Alabama could think of going into this game.
I agree. Also, if a tackle is struggling to block, put somebody over there to help him. Do not continue to let this man just get beat one-on-one situations. It It takes the confidence away. He's a young player already.
Nudge, crack. There's so many ways to slow down a defense.
Something. Boot, play action off of that. Give these other guys something to think about. Wide receiver screen. So now the defensive line are not just ripping up the field. Now they got to turn and chase. It's ways to attack teams to where you're not always playing back on your back foot, trying to defend yourself out of the corner. You can go on the attack, but you have to be smart about it. Understand what's going to work for you. And like Tim is saying, this guy, Jalen Milroe, is a problem when used correctly. Find what goes well for him. Use him. I don't care if you go in pistol formation, do a boot off of it, because if I use a boot formation with him, he's going to keep two guys on the backside of the defense naturally because he's that fat. Yeah, then you just keep it. It's ways around this. I think they got to continue to wrap their heads around it and say, hey, this is going to be our guy. Let's go.
Much more tomorrow from these two, and much more from us when we come back. Holly Rowe.
What do they say? Gig him around here, Paul?
Yeah. Gig him.
Yeah, come
Rowe
on, Paul. Get these people going.
She is in Baton Rouge. That's the hardest hit you've had in a long time.
Hey, you're taking your shots at Paul today, man.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Let's head down to Baton Rouge right now, prime time tomorrow. On the Bayou, Holly Rowe, of course, will be on the sidelines. Holly, thanks, as always. Great to have you with us, and let's get ready for yet another SEC showdown. You were in Gainesville last week, and I'll go back to that in a second, but what are you learning about this big game tomorrow between Arkansas and LSU?
Yeah, there's a unique storyline in this game between Arkansas and LSU this week because Greg Brooks is a young man that started 31 games for the Arkansas Razorbacks. He transferred to LSU, had played in two games for the Tigers this season. He's from New Orleans. Well, he underwent surgery to have a tumor removed from his brain on Friday. It's been an emotional week around here. You will see both teams, Arkansas and LSU, wearing a number 3 helmet sticker to honor this young man. And I just spoke with Brian Kelly and Jaden Daniels. They said it's been emotional to see this healthy young man, one of their brothers, in the hospital and struggling and suffering. It has been very emotional this week for the Tigers, but they have dedicated their season to Greg. I know Coach Sam Pittman was trying to make, whatever he could do to see if he could maybe go visit him in the hospital while he's here in Baton Rouge. So we're not sure about that yet. But just a really unique, interesting storyline of a young man who's played for both teams in the hospital struggling. It's just a unique underlying storyline this weekend.
Well, let's hope for the absolute best, and I know everybody is pulling for him. Thank you for sharing that with us, Holly. Let's talk a little bit about Jaden Daniels for a second, because last year on a cold day in Fayetteville, he struggled against Arkansas. It was a nail-biter down literally to the end. What are you learning about Jaden? And he has bounced back very well after the disappointing opening loss to FSU, but he seems like he is the key. Certainly was last week.
I think Jaden Daniels is light years from the quarterback that he was in that Arkansas game last year. He is seeing the field at a different level. He is commanding this offense at a different level. And I want to say the offense of LSU did struggle in that opening game against Florida State, but I really thought a lot of that was up front. I do think this offensive line looks better. They have improved. You know, Brian Kelly told me today, hey, the head coach had to do a better job of finding out who are the energy givers on offense. And he pointed out their center, Charles Turner, who very first play of the game last week takes a three technique guy and just drives him down the field 10 yards, buries him. So I think you're seeing a nastier, tougher mindset up front, and that is going to help Jaden Daniels. I think this offense is operating at a higher level. He has kind of connected with Malik in a way that is much more dynamic and efficient, and they are getting to be a real duo in the passing game that I think is going to cause problems for Arkansas.
Holly, it's a really critical game for Arkansas after a stinging loss last week. I mean, their schedule is just simply unbelievable with A&M and Alabama and Ole Miss. So, I mean, not that this is an easy win, but what are you hearing from Sam Pittman about this point in the season where they need to turn some things in their favor?
Yeah, we haven't met with Sam Pittman yet. We'll meet with him about 6:30 tonight. But from what I'm reading and the press conferences and everything I'm hearing, this is a do-or-die game for Arkansas. You know, their schedule is absolutely brutal moving forward. And it's not like playing at LSU in Death Valley is a walk in the park either. But they kind of have a urgency and a need to turn it around right now mentality. I think a lot of people were surprised by that result to BYU and how they played. Talking to the LSU offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock and Brian Kelly, they've really been studying what Arkansas will do on defense with this new defensive coordinator, Travis Williams. When he was at UCF, he was very, very exotic. They did a lot on defense. And I thought it was interesting that the LSU offensive staff said they haven't seen much of that in the first 3 weeks. They're wondering if Arkansas is kind of saving all the bells and whistles of their new defense for conference play. So that means LSU's not really sure what they're going to get. Could it be more dramatic, more exotic? Jaden Daniels said they are prepping for that, and they practiced this week with a lot of bells and whistles as if Arkansas is going to really open things up on the defensive side. So I think that's something interesting to keep your eye on, of how is Arkansas on defense with this new coordinator. They said they've actually been watching more UCF tape than Arkansas tape, where their coach came from last year. So I think that's one interesting wrinkle to keep your eye on.
Holly, finally, I want to go back a week. I always love your experiences, and the swamp looked rocking from my small little TV. What was it like down there, and what did you learn about Florida and Tennessee?
Oh, my gosh. I felt like I'd gotten into a time machine and gone back to, you know, like the late 1990s, early 2000s. The swamp was as good as I've seen it in maybe more than 10 years. It was electric. The fans made a difference in the game. They created penalties because of the noise. I kind of felt like, oh my gosh, the swamp is back, baby. But more importantly, I thought Florida operated well on offense, particularly the offensive line. In their opening game against Utah, they were not good. They had four crucial penalties from false starts, movement. It was just really bad on the offensive line for Florida. And I'm really proud of those young men. They regrouped. They reset, and they came out and were much more dominant against Tennessee, particularly because the running game got going. Trevor Etienne had 173 yards rushing. He was physical. He was dynamic. I thought he had a really breakout game, and that goes to the guys up front. Graham Mertz had time to operate. That is the Florida offense that I think we could see this season, because they do have weapons. When they're balanced, run pass, they can play action. Graham Mertz is efficient. Not turning the ball over. He has really grown as a quarterback and signal caller, but it all starts up front. I feel like I say that every week with you, Paul, but it all starts at the offensive line, and I thought the Gators' offensive line was the difference in this ball game, and I'm really impressed with how they came together after a tough start against Utah.
Always great to visit with Holly Rowe on these Friday afternoons. Holly joining us from Baton Rouge tomorrow night, Arkansas, taking on LSU in prime time. We'll take a short break. So much more to come right here, including a visit with the baseball coach who's off to a great start here, as well as Ross Bjork, the director of athletics here in Aggieland.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
In about 15 years, and you don't have to convince me of that. Let's head down to Baton Rouge right now, prime time tomorrow on the Bayou. Holly Rowe, of course, we'll be on the sideline. Holly, thanks as always. Great to have you with us. And let's get ready for yet another SEC showdown. You were in Gainesville last week, and I'll go back to that in a second. But what are you learning about this big game tomorrow between Arkansas and LSU?
Yeah, there's a unique storyline in this game between Arkansas and LSU this week, because Greg Brooks is a young man that started 31 games for the Arkansas Razorbacks. He transferred to LSU, had played in 2 games for the Tigers this season. He's from New Orleans. Well, he underwent surgery to have a tumor removed from his brain on Friday. It's been an emotional week around here. You will see both teams, Arkansas and LSU, wearing a number 3 helmet sticker to honor this young man. And I just spoke with Brian Kelly and Jason Daniels. They said it's been emotional to see this healthy young man, one of their brothers, in the hospital and struggling and suffering. It has been very emotional this week for the Tigers, but they have dedicated their season to Greg. I know Coach Sam Pittman was trying to make, whatever he could do to see if he could maybe go visit him in the hospital while he's here in Baton Rouge. So we're not sure about that yet. But just a really unique, interesting storyline of a young man who's played for both teams in the hospital struggling. It's just a unique underlying storyline this weekend.
Well, let's hope for the absolute best, and I know everybody is pulling for him. Thank you for sharing that with us, Holly. Let's talk a little bit about Jaden Daniels for a second, because last year on a cold day in Fayetteville, he struggled against Arkansas. It was a nail-biter down literally to the end. What are you learning about Jaden? And he has bounced back very well after the disappointing opening loss to FSU, but he seems like he is the key. Certainly was last week.
I think Jaden Daniels is light years from the quarterback that he was in that Arkansas game last year. He is seeing the field at a different level. He is commanding this offense at a different level. And I want to say the offense of LSU did struggle in that opening game against Florida State, but I really thought a lot of that was up front. I do think this offensive line looks better. They have improved. You know, Brian Kelly told me today, hey, the head coach had to do a better job of finding out who are the energy givers on offense. And he pointed out their center, Charles Turner, who the very first play of the game last week takes a 3 technique guy and just drives him down the field 10 yards, buries him. So I think you're seeing a nastier, tougher mindset up front, and that is going to help Jaden Daniels. I think this offense is operating at a higher level. He has kind of connected with Malik in a way that is much more dynamic and efficient, and they are getting to be a real duo in the passing game that I think is going to cause problems for Arkansas.
Holly, it's a really critical game for Arkansas after a stinging loss last week. I mean, their schedule is just simply unbelievable with A&M and Alabama and Ole Miss. So, I mean, not that this is an easy win, but what are you hearing from Sam Pittman about this point in the season where they need to turn some things in their favor?
Yeah, we haven't met with Sam Pittman yet. We'll meet with him about 6:30 tonight. But from what I'm reading and the press conferences and everything I'm hearing, this is a do-or-die game for Arkansas. You know, their schedule is absolutely brutal moving forward. And it's not like playing at LSU in Death Valley is a walk in the park either. But they kind of have a urgency and a need to turn it around right now mentality. I think a lot of people were surprised by that result to BYU and how they played. Talking to the LSU offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock and Brian Kelly, they've really been studying what Arkansas will do on defense with this new defensive coordinator, Travis Williams. When he was at UCF, he was very, very exotic. They did a lot on defense. And I thought it was interesting that the LSU offensive staff said they haven't seen much of that in the first 3 weeks. They're wondering if Arkansas is kind of saving all the bells and whistles of their new defense for conference play. So that means LSU's not really sure what they're going to get. Could it be more dramatic, more exotic? Jaden Daniels said they are prepping for that, and they practiced this week with a lot of bells and whistles as if Arkansas is going to really open things up on the defensive side. So I think that's something interesting to keep your eye on, of how is Arkansas on defense with this new coordinator. They said they've actually been watching more UCF tape than Arkansas tape, where their coach came from last year. So I think that's one interesting wrinkle to keep your eye on.
Holly, finally, I want to go back a week. I always love your experiences, and the swamp looked rocking from my small little TV. What was it like down there, and what did you learn about Florida and Tennessee?
Oh, my gosh. I felt like I'd gotten into a time machine and gone back to, you know, like the late 1990s, early 2000s. The swamp was as good as I've seen it in maybe more than 10 years. It was electric. The fans made a difference in the game. They created penalties because of the noise. I kind of felt like, oh my gosh, the swamp is back, baby. But more importantly, I thought Florida operated well on offense, particularly the offensive line. In their opening game against Utah, they were not good. They had four crucial penalties from false starts, movement. It was just really bad on the offensive line for Florida. And I'm really proud of those young men. They regrouped. They reset, and they came out and were much more dominant against Tennessee, particularly because the running game got going. Trevor Etienne had 173 yards rushing. He was physical. He was dynamic. I thought he had a really breakout game, and that goes to the guys up front. Graham Mertz had time to operate. That is the Florida offense that I think we could see this season, because they do have weapons. When they're balanced, run pass, they can play action. Graham Mertz is efficient. Not turning the ball over. He has really grown as a quarterback and signal caller, but it all starts up front. I feel like I say that every week with you, Paul, but it all starts at the offensive line, and I thought the Gators' offensive line was the difference in this ball game, and I'm really impressed with how they came together after a tough start against Utah.
Always great to visit with Holly Rowe on these Friday afternoons. Holly joining us from Baton Rouge tomorrow night, Arkansas taking on LSU in prime time. We'll take a short break. So much more to come right here, including a visit with the baseball coach who's off to a great start here, as well as Ross Bjork, the director of athletics here in Aggieland.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Bob Washington and Robert Griffin III joining us. Did you miss the forecast?
Oh no, Paul. This is what we do in Texas, right? But it doesn't matter how hot it is. I had a gray shirt on, to be honest with you. I didn't want to sweat it out. So
yeah, no. The heat index is now, I think, 102. Bob, you're a New Yorker. This is just a beautiful day at Coney Island, huh?
Yeah, you know how bitter he is that NIL didn't exist when he played, that he's willing to wear a hoodie today with his logo on it.
Listen.
With like 117-degree heat index.
Bob's calling me out, which he's always good for those things, but he knows he wants one of these hoodies, and I'm going to hook him up. I'm going to make sure he gets one.
If it's free.
Has someone calculated what you would have made during your final year?
Oh, that'd be hard to hear.
It would be tough to put that together. But Baylor did tell me they made like $450 million after that Heisman season. So I'm looking at you, Baylor. Let's make it right.
I mean, you built – I mean, you built a stadium.
I did not personally build a stadium with my hands or anything. It took more than just me, but there was a lot of guys that were very influential in that. Yeah. But like I said, I'm looking at you, Baylor.
And you're still the one they talk about. So has everything in Rogers' world?
Oh, why? Come on.
He's a Jets.
Why would he have to go there?
He didn't have to bring that up. He's been talking about this for weeks now.
I mean, we got four plays. He didn't throw a pass.
Oh, it's so
and it was
sad.
Over. Yeah, it was hard. I feel so bad for Jets fans. I really do. I mean, I'm paid to be there, so like it's my job. But yeah, this was the most anticipated season I think ever in the history of the organization. It might have been one of the three or four most anticipated seasons in New York sports history.
Mm, really?
When you really think about it, the hype of having him there.
Oh, yeah.
In the biggest city in the world, and four plays in.
Yeah.
You know, but I really do think he will come back as a man on a mission next year.
100%.
And so I'm already looking forward to that.
I hope.
Yeah, I hope so too.
You've heard about him getting the special Achilles surgery to hopefully be able to come back soon. See how he laughs about that?
I know.
I think he's really just playing chess, not checkers. I think he's trying to keep his team motivated. So they give him a chance. Like, man, he could possibly be there for the Super Bowl, but their defense is going to have to play lights out. You think they can do it, Bob?
What
you mentioned,
away?
Jets and Super Bowl. I'm all
is
ears.
Is Aaron going to be on the broadcast team at the Super Bowl? Is that what you're talking about? Okay, you guys are here. I mean, you're not here to talk about the Jets or about your hoodie. You're here to talk about Auburn and Texas A&M. So,
yep.
So let me ask you about this game. There is really we feel pretty confident that there'll be good quarterback play on the A&M side. We're not quite as positive on the Auburn side. So break that down for us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you guys think about Connor Wigman?
Yeah!
What do you think? Yeah, yeah. They Heisman. See, now if they hadn't lost to Miami, he'd definitely be in the Heisman conversation. But
there's time.
There's still time.
There's time to work your way back in.
Right? Yeah, of course. I'm loving
you
the glasses,
it.
By
you
the
went
way.
Out.
Those are awesome. But you just talk about it specifically. Connor Wigman's been incredible, honestly. Just the way he's processing, seeing the field, making all the throws, being mobile. You'll never hear me call him sneaky athletic because he's just athletic, and I don't like it when people say that. I appreciate that. But when you talk about the other side of the ball or the other team with Auburn, you've got Peyton Thorne over there. You got Robbie Ashford. And really for them, it's just finding out who their go-to guy is going to be outside of Fairweather, their tight end. But I anticipate they're going to try to run the football up and down the field. And this Texas A&M defense was really bad against the run last year, ranked 123rd in the country. But they're significantly better now. All those five stars that everybody wants to talk about, they're playing at a really high level. But I think the team that has a quarterback that plays the best is the one that will win. And right now, Connor Wigman's the one that's leading that category.
I was really impressed talking to Bobby Petrino and Jimbo about him today. Because those are two – I mean, if you're going to put, like, the most creative offensive minds in college football in a room, those two are in the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Both of them. And they both talked about how much of a command he has of everything that they want him to do. So for – a second-year starter, a sophomore, to have that kind of a command over their combined knowledge on offense, that got my attention.
Yeah, I think it also makes them feel really good. If you talk about Jimbo, when we had our meetings, he was talking about Jameis and how Jameis was a baseball player and Connor Wigman's a baseball player. And, you know, he kind of put that to the side for right now to focus on football. But it reminds me of another guy that was a baseball player, Patrick Mahomes. Like these quarterbacks nowadays with the ability to throw off platform, utilizing their hips like a baseball player, I think it puts Jimbo in a good place, knowing that, hey, if there's any similarities to those two guys, it's a good thing, and he's happy about that.
So much has been made out of Bobby Petrino in the offseason. We haven't really heard much from him. You sat down. Tell us, being with him and listening to him talk ball.
He sounded so relaxed. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, as a head coach, you have a million other things to worry about. And it was funny. I put my chart in front of him because you want to confirm and deny, and do I have all the right guys on the chart? Am I missing anyone? And the kickers were in the upper left-hand corner of the chart because I've got my offensive chart, and then if they kick a field goal, all right, here come the kicker, here comes the long snapper, the holder. But right, and then on the defensive chart, you have the defensive chart and all the return guys up on the right. So put the offensive chart in front of the offensive coordinator, and Bobby Petrino's like, are these our kickers? I don't know their names, you know. So when you're the offensive coordinator, you're in your silo.
Yep.
You get to run your stuff. He really feels like he meshes. Well, I get the feeling, too, that he and Jimbo both really have enjoyed like matching wits.
Yeah.
And being in a room together and just talking conceptually about Correct. All the different things that their offenses have as similarities, but also their own wrinkles.
Yeah.
You know, even Bob Petrino saying it has been really interesting coming here and learning a new language.
Yeah.
But he never heard learning. The offense was always his. Everyone learned his language, but he had to learn Jimbo's language with his own twists. They're an interesting, you know, formulaic mind, I think, together, the two.
Yeah, and you bring that up, and really with Bobby Petrino, it feels like he's just happy to be able to connect with the players on an individual basis again, you know, be in the meeting rooms, really formulate those relationships that every head coach likes to say they have those relationships, but it's really tough when you have so many other things on your plate. And on the flip side for Jimbo, I think it's giving him more time to build those, right? It's really hard. He said it many weeks ago. It's very difficult as a head coach to also call plays because of all of the responsibilities that you have as a head coach, especially in today's game with the transfer portal and NIL. You're having to recruit your own guys all the time. It's very tough to really be in there all the time game planning and calling plays when you have all these other things that are on your mind. But your point about the offense, I think people need to realize that, you know, Petrino comes in here and he had to learn a new language instead of making the whole team learn a new language. So he's had that adjustment period, but it's been very, I would say, simple for a guy like Connor Wegman to continue his growth because not a lot has changed.
Robert, Bob, thanks so much for dropping by. We'll be watching the game tomorrow. Then I'll be charting up with you on Sunday as the Jets play with Patriots.
They do play the Patriots.
Wow.
Yeah. Have great history with the Patriots, as you know. So.
Bill Belichick, former Jets coach for a day, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, for like 3 hours.
Wow, you're just rubbing stuff in today.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.